I don't think many of us like to be pulled off track, especially when we are doing something really important. I don't know if any of you have this problem, but I have been accused before of getting tunnel vision on things and just barreling ahead on a task and not paying attention to what's going on around me. But sometimes that can be a cause for missing what God wants us to see going on around us. I don't know if you've ever spent any significant time in a larger city, or if you've been overseas to a larger city. But when I lived in Chicago, it was a common occurrence that when I would be walking to and from wherever I was going, to encounter a number of people who were homeless and were asking for help. And I have to confess that there are many times I just wanted to keep my eyes straight ahead and ignore it. Because oftentimes, especially when you're in an area where there's just such a volume of humanity, the needs are overwhelming. We don't know what to do, and so what we do is we just keep our eyes straight ahead and we press on. In our passage from the Gospel of Mark this morning, Jesus and his disciples and the crowd that was traveling with him from Galilee were on a mission. They were trying to make it to Jerusalem, and their arrival in Jericho was the last stop on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And so people were getting excited, because remember, some were starting to get this idea of Jesus being the Messiah. They were expecting he was going to enter in as a king, that he was going to usher in this new messianic age where Israel would throw off its oppressors. You know, some of the things that we heard from Jeremiah. And usher in a new age for Israel and for God's people. And so as they're coming through Jericho, there's a blind man who's sitting on the side of the road and starts to shout out. Two things happen. The people just want to keep moving, and then secondarily, they want to silence him. Quiet down. Don't you know this guy is important? Don't you know we have somewhere to be? We can't stop and deal with your blind man problems. It's startling when we read that they tried to quiet this man down, isn't it? But really, if we think about it, and really, if you, like me, have ever had any experience in a larger area, it's not that hard to wrap your mind around, is it? Somehow this man, whose name we actually know, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, exceedingly rare in Scripture to know the name of someone that Jesus healed. We know his name, and somehow he had heard about this Jesus person, and there's really little to no chance that he had been traveling around. He's a blind man who was destitute. What he did was sit at the side of the road and ask for alms. That was the social security network in Israel. It provided a way for them to get money and a way for lawful Jews to be able to fulfill their responsibility to give alms. But somehow he had heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, that he could do amazing things, and so he is not going to be quiet in this moment. So he shouts out, "Son of David! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. "Call him," Jesus says. And so they called the blind man. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." I mean, it feels like it's The Price is Right or something, doesn't it? You know, come on down. But Bartimaeus, he doesn't need any other invitation. He throws off his cloak and he makes his way over to where Jesus is. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man says, "Rabbi, I want to see." So Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now this seems like a quick interaction, doesn't it? But what's going on here is huge. And it's deep. Bartimaeus, sitting there, blind, cannot see Jesus, only knows by word of mouth, and is convinced by who knows what other than the Spirit of God, that this Jesus is the Son of David, which is a messianic term. The one who would come in after David. So he sees Jesus as the Messiah, but then his request is perhaps the most interesting thing. The way he calls on Jesus. He says, "Have mercy on me. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy." He was not too proud. He was only looking for this Messiah, this Jesus, to have mercy on him. And if you ask me, even more than him calling Jesus the Son of David, because probably there were lots in the crowd that were seeing him that way, I think what caught Jesus' ear, maybe what stopped Jesus in his tracks, was here was someone who gets it because he is asking for mercy. There's an irony that's present throughout this. This is a blind man in Jericho, just a stone's throw away from Jerusalem, where Jesus was going to be rejected and crucified. Jesus' disciples were having trouble grasping who he was. Peter tried to stop Jesus from even entertaining the idea that he could be killed. The rich young ruler that we heard about a few weeks ago wanted to be a disciple but couldn't leave his wealth behind. The sons of Zebedee were arguing about who was going to be at the right side and the left hand side of Jesus when he came into his kingdom. There's all this denial of who Jesus is and all this misunderstanding of what Jesus is about. And then in comes the blind man who recognizes Jesus as the Messiah and then properly asks for what anyone and everyone should be asking from Jesus. Mercy. Mercy. And so Jesus stops, calls the man. And while many people would have just assumed that this guy wants a few dollars, Jesus poses the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's like a deeper question. So what do you really want? Here I am. You've called out to me. You've asked me for mercy. What is it that you want? For Bartimaeus, he wanted to be made whole. See, as a blind man, not only was he disabled physically, but socially. He was cast out from the rest of the people around him. And so what Jesus does is recognizes that faith that he has, heals him. And then what does Bartimaeus do after he's received that mercy and that healing? He follows Jesus along the way. He starts that journey of discipleship, as every journey of discipleship should begin, which is to recognize Jesus as the Messiah and then to call upon him for mercy. Some scholars have surmise that it could be the reason we know this guy's name is because he was a known member of the early Christian community that the Gospel of Mark was written to. And if you ask me, that makes some good sense because there are plenty of other people who had miraculous healings, demons being cast out. They are not named, but Bartimaeus was. So I like to imagine this early church being told the story of this blind man who was nobody, that they knew him now as a man who could see, who was a brother and sister with them, how Jesus had had mercy on him. It's an unbelievable story. And so as we read this morning, as we see Jesus pause, a few things I want to leave you with in our own lives. Jesus' question, what do you want me to do for you? This is good advice for how you ought to approach anyone who you are trying to be there for. Allow them to tell you what it is that they think they need. Get to the deeper question of what's going on. Oftentimes, what the first reason they say they need help is a surface reason. And where God might want to use you is a few reasons below that. And secondly, that as disciples that we remember in recognizing Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the response is a humble request for mercy. And we can't lose sight of that. Because brothers and sisters, we need to be honest, and I have to be honest with myself. Sometimes we are trying to get Jesus' attention by what we think we're doing right or what we're doing that's impressive for God. But time and time again, what gets Jesus' attention is not thinking that you're doing so much great stuff for him, but that you have a broken and contrite spirit that recognizes your need for mercy. That is what Jesus works with. Let's pray. Lord God, may our eyes never be too haughty. May we always remember that we are in need of your mercy and grace. God, may you give us your eyes and your ears to listen to the people around us, that we might be used as your presence before them, showing them the way to grace and mercy and life. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.